Banning Leapshire has some advice for those Lone Ranger leaders who think they can just go it alone.
There's no way, no possible way, that I can do what God's called me to do by myself.
All through the month of April, we've been talking about traits of a healthy and effective leader. And this week, we're wrapping up the series talking about how leaders empower others. This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. Wherever you may be listening from, all around the world.
Global reach.
We do have, I'm going to introduce ourselves in just a second, but everywhere I go, I mean this, everywhere I go, even internationally, we have people that come up, part of the family, the podcast. I always love running into people that are
my
listening.
My favorite is when they made t-shirts in Australia, yes, or something, another
That's
country.
That's exactly right.
They made t-shirts a while back.
Yeah, That's so good. 52. We love it. Well, welcome. I am Bane Leapshire, the lead pastor and director of Jesus Culture. Joined as always by my co-host,
Becky Johnson, youth pastor of Jesus Culture Sacramento, podcast queen.
Podcast queen, can you say that?
I think so. Yeah.
I think you can.
Of the royal
quite a few, for quite a few titles. We're glad that you're here with us. We're changing things up a little bit, which we'll jump into in just a few minutes, but we've got a little bit different format. We're just sitting down. And we're talking leadership traits because we have a heart to see you grow as a leader, but it's kind of a lot of me talking too, I've realized.
Yeah.
Becky's like, let's sit down and talk leadership traits. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me talking for like 30 minutes.
That was kind of my plan.
So I am getting a little bit tired of my own talking, but I will press on.
You can do this.
I will press on. I will continue on because...
You got this.
Listen, this is a question I have for you and a lot of people out there. Again, if you're a preacher, you'll get this a little bit, but a lot of people are petrified of listening to their own sermons. Oh. Are you one of those people?
I could throw up in my mouth just hearing you say that. Like, I hate it. I hate it. And I did it. And
That's
it was
so
awful.
Funny.
Like, I was just like, I can't. I kept taking my headphones out. I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I say that? Why does my voice sound like that? Why am I say a lot, or I make this sound.
Yeah, tell it.
I didn't know I did that. I'm like, why am I doing that? Stop it.
So that's a microphone issue, but keep going.
Oh, yeah. Stupid microphone.
Stupid
microphone. It was like watching when you watch a scary movie, you're like, yes, don't go in there. Don't do it. Oh. I was like, Becky, stop. Oh. Move on. Transition.
I don't really listen to my sermons much anymore, but I used to love listening to my sermons.
What?
Totally.
You did not.
I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. I'd be like, ooh, that's a good point. Oh that sounds great.
Goodness.
Oh, that sounds great.
No.
And then.
No.
And then. And then I'd laugh. I'd laugh at some stories. I'm like, that's funny. That's super funny.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Pray for me. I need that. Oh.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to go in. I mean, I would go in and I would try to improve myself and grow, but I'd also be like, this is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going somewhere in the world.
I don't know. I'm like that actor. I'm
but
like
you
that
do listen to him. Now, here's the crazy thing. You hate it, but you listen to him not just once, multiple times.
Multiple times. To grow. And it was, yeah, it doesn't get any, I hope it gets better. Does it get better? Like
listening to your sermon or your preaching?
Both.
We have yet to see.
I hope my preaching gets better, but listening to it. Oh, that was so brutal. And then let's just be honest, guys. I'll be vulnerable. Banning said, let me listen to it and give you some feedback. And I was like, no, I don't actually want your feedback. I don't want you to listen to it. And I sent it and he did. And I was like, ugh.
It wasn't bad feedback. They did a great job. Listen, they have, for me, and I don't know if it's just some of it's my personality, so I don't think everybody has to be like this. But I would have people...
you do.
Yeah, in my own leadership style or whether it's preaching or just how I lead, I want people to tell me what I don't think it's the good things that are stopping me from being who God's called me to be. Yeah. I think it's the stuff in my life I need to grow in. So yeah. I'd go into a meeting with a mentor or something, and I'm like, okay. And I'm a words of affirmation guy, so I love encouragement. But I'm like, move past that. Tell me what I need to do. What do I need to grow? How do I need to get better, you know? And so I'd sit down, and Dan Fairley, a mentor of mine, he'd sit down with me, and he'd tear apart my sermon. Just start tearing into it, you know?
My gosh. But I need to listen to the security podcast again,
yes,
because I'm like, okay.
I'm just like, I don't know how else you get better, right?
I know, it's so true though. It's so true. So
And my wife does that for me. We, even in meetings, I want to be able to be, even in certain things like how I interact with the team, we'd come out of a meeting, my wife would look at me and be like, are you trying not to listen to people in that room? You know, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm totally listening to people.
Oh,
yeah, not
funny.
So much. Not really.
Are you trying to not? What's your goal? Like, hey, I'm going to not listen to anybody.
Do you have a goal to not listen to everybody's ideas?
If so, you killed it.
You are crushing it. So, yes, here we are.
That's awesome.
Well, it's great to have all of you with us. We are here a little bit to come alongside you and just encourage you as a leader. Mm-hmm. Becky, you were talking about your preaching. You were just recently traveled to Ohio.
The Midwest.
Which, can I say this right now? I'm not from the Midwest. I love the Midwest unless it's December.
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal. Or January or February or March.
Or any of the winter times.
Yeah. I just went to Ohio, Botkins, Ohio. I am from Indiana. So I knew where I hadn't been to the Midwest in 4 or 5 years. So it had been a while since I'd been home. And so I was reminded why I moved. I moved. Jim Gaffigan, he's a funny comedian. He says, you know, every state has their saying like, oh, we're from New York. We're tough. We're from Texas. We like things big. He's like, you know, because he's from Indiana. And the Midwest goes, we're from the Midwest and we're going to move.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible. We love all of you out in the Midwest.
I do. It was like a mix of nostalgia.
Chicago's one of my top three favorite cities in the world. I love Chicago.
It is. But we're driving and we're just driving and we're driving and we're driving. It's flat. And
here's
I'm
the
like,
funny,
we're almost there. He's like, almost.
Here's the funny thing about, because again, some of it we're talking about winters are brutal, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was up in, I did a trip to Milwaukee and, you know, I was in Minneapolis and Milwaukee and I think Chicago or something. And it was a few years ago when they had the horrible winter come through. Is December. It was so cold. Ugh. And everybody's like, oh, you kind of get used to it. Your blood thickens up. And I'm like, you're just lying to make yourself feel better.
But they really,
I'm like, is that true? Your blood, like your blood is different than my blood? They're like, oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Your blood gets thicker. And so it's not quite as cold. And I'm like, I'm not sure I believe you, but okay. And they're like, no, totally. It's true. It's
That's
true.
That's awesome. That's Midwest for you.
And then and your blood thins, I guess, when you move away.
My family, last time I went home, it was in December and I was freezing and my family was so disappointed. My dad was like, you are just Californian.
Oh, totally.
Like he was so disappointed that I was cold. I was like, Dad.
No, totally.
He's
totally.
Like, what have you become?
I disown you as my daughter.
Yeah. I was like, it's just so cold. I'm turning up the heat. He's like, you're from here. Come on.
Yeah, totally. I would believe the same thing.
All right, guys, we're going to dive into the topic, which I don't even think we've said. So if you saw the title, then you know. But this week, it's our final week of, it's Leadership Month. I declared it. Remember? I declared it. National Leadership Month.
And there's been zero momentum off that.
Zero momentum. But you know what?
I don't think you have as much influence as you think.
Well, you know what? I don't get my security from my influence. I get my security from the Lord. But we met some of the 52.
Yep. We had a whole group come out from Kingsman, Arizona.
Hello. Thanks for visiting us. It was great to meet
you. Shout out to Kingsman, Arizona. Come on.
So we're diving into this week. It's talking about leaders empowering others and delegating and empowering and using their platform to build others up. It's going to be a really good topic. Before that, we want to hear your testimonies. We want to hear how this podcast is impacting you, and we want to highlight you on the podcast with your own audio, your own voice. So check out this little spot to get more information on how you can do that. Hey guys, it's Becky here. I am really excited about a new segment that we want to introduce, listener testimonies. We want to hear from you. You know, we joke from the 52. We hear from them all the time when we run into them in person or a little bit on social media on how the JCLP is impacting them. But we want to take a section of each podcast and highlight you and what's going on in your life and how this podcast has impacted you. So here's what you got to do. Take out your phone or on your computer and record a voice memo. Just pretend we're on the phone and you're telling us, you know, the podcast has been so great for me in this season of whatever, or, you know, one thing I love about the JCLP is I've been listening to the JCLP for so many years and here's what I love most about it. and just record about 2 minutes or less of you talking about what you love about the podcast. Be sure to include your name and where you're from. So it would sound something like, "Hey, this is Becky Johnson from Sacramento, California. I've been listening to the JCLP for 2 years. I love how encouraging it is and speaking to my current season of life, no matter where I'm at." Something like that. So record a voice memo and send that in to podcast@jesusculture.com. We'll be listening to them and then highlighting you. We're really excited to put some listeners into our podcast because you're such a, you know, you are the reason that we are doing this. So email it in to podcast@jesusculture.com. And pretty soon we will launch the listener testimony segment. It's going to be really good. One last time, record a voice memo, include your name and where you're from, and email that to podcast@jesusculture.com.
Visit the Jesus Culture online store for our latest music, apparel, and books. This is more than a store for us. We create these products to share a piece of Jesus Culture's message with people all over the world. We're giving our JCLP listeners 10% off your purchase with the discount code JCLP. Go to store.jesusculture.com to check it out.
All right, we're diving in. Here we go. Banning's ferociously taking notes here. I can't read your handwriting very well. You're a little bit of the doctor.
It's not doctor. It's we don't use handwriting anymore. My handwriting was bad before.
Oh gosh,
but now that
it's
we don't
true.
Really use handwriting anymore, I don't need to perfect it at all. Like when's the last time I wrote somebody a note and passed it to them? This is the honest truth. Like my handwriting is. There's two things in life that are getting worse for me because of technology. Handwriting, because I just don't write that much. And if I do, it's simply just some
notes
to myself. And the second thing is directions. Like I am directionally challenged and it's not getting better because I don't ever have to.
Yeah,
because
of GPS.
I just have my GPS. I just have my phone and it tells me where to go. So both things are getting worse for me. My handwriting is getting worse. And if I don't have a GPS on and I can't find my way out of anything.
There's an episode of The Office where Michael Scott drives into a lake because the GPS is telling him to. Would that be you? He's the guy in the car is like, turn left, Michael. He's like, GPS is telling me to turn right. And he's going into a lake.
No, I have to trust. I trust the GPS above all else. I will not get there.
Awesome.
I eventually would get there. It would just take me a long time. It would just take me a long time. That would be the issue.
So he can read his handwriting. But this week, it's our final week, and we're talking about how leaders empower others. So we're just going to dive right in. Banning, I've got a question for you right off the bat.
I'll fire away.
Why is this hard for us to do? Why is it hard for us as leaders to... It's hard for me, and it's maybe some of that's a personality thing, but like to delegate, to let things go, to empower others and just let them run with things that we care about.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of reasons for that. But one, what you're talking about is probably we just don't trust people. We just don't trust others sometimes. I think we have to define what leadership is. And I think, you know, Jesus, he pulled the disciples aside and he said, listen, there's two different models you're looking at right now. You've seen how the Gentiles lead. They lord it over them. Mm-hmm. They do this thing. But he said, that's not how you lead in the kingdom, because the example you follow in the kingdom, Jesus is saying me. And the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for people. So the model that Jesus presented us for leadership was I lay my life down for people. So when we say, why is it hard for me to empower other people? Some of it's because you haven't figured out yet that leadership is about empowering other people. Mm. Leadership is about taking the people that the Lord's given you and laying your life down for them. This is the example he gave when he talked about marriage and the role that Jesus had with his bride. It's what he talks about with leadership. So I think that at some level, we just have to pull back and say, hey, let's just define leadership. And there's probably a lot of definitions for leadership, but one of the main roles of a leader is to lay your life down for others and to give your best for others, to give your life for the benefit of others. So if I can look at the people that are on my team, not just the people that I'm leading from a distance, you know,
yeah.
then I'm supposed to lay my life down for you. I'm supposed to help you find out what's in your heart. I'm supposed to help you figure out what your best is. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to help you get where you're supposed to go in God. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to help you fulfill the call on yeah. your life. And so if I really believe that, then I have to empower at some level.
Absolutely.
Like how are you going to get where you're supposed to be going if you're in my environment? Mm-hmm. How are you supposed to get where you're going unless I empower you to get there? And if I realize that that's my job to help you get where you're going, then it mm-hmm. requires I.
And you know, for I can speak from, you know, working with you and for you for a long time, is you're not afraid of other people's failures. And that's something as I'm growing in my own leadership, that I'm like, man, that's really scary. Like letting things go when I was leading the creative team, I'm like, wow, okay, it's what if they fail? And so I would not let go of something and I'd kind of mask it as, well, I don't, it's because I'm a good leader. I don't want people to fail. I don't want something to not happen. So I'll just do it. So I make sure it does. And
yeah,
but actually.
No, it's a reflection on us. It's a, we think at some level, like if I have somebody do something and they're not as good at it as I am, mm-hmm. or if they maybe won't do a good job or, you know, I think that somehow it's going to reflect on me, or we're not going to be able to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. But what I'm trying to accomplish is you. What I'm yeah. trying to accomplish is, you know, and all of us had this opportunity. None of us were given leadership opportunities when we, you know, were arrived and perfect at it. You know, so I was given opportunities to preach when I wasn't a great preacher. I was given opportunities to lead. I mean, Chris Fallotton stuck me in charge his second year at 25 years old. What was he thinking? Bill, I became a youth pastor at 21. Judgment. At 25, Chris came. And again, the school wasn't huge. I mean, there's 45 students in second year.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, you're in charge of second year. They were all older than me. The staff was older than me. Not all the students were older than me, but a lot of the students were older than me. But part of his job was to help me get where I'm supposed to go. And mm-hmm. some of that is that he's got to empower me even when I'm not ready.
That's so good. What happens in an environment where a leader's not, you know, so it's like, well, do I have to? Can I build my organization without empowering others that much or, you know?
Yeah, part of what happens is if you have a concept that your leadership is just to get a bunch of people to do what you want them to do, you know, the yeah. leader with 1,000 helpers.
Yeah.
You know, we joke a lot about teamwork is a lot of people doing what I tell them, you know, but ultimately you'll just keep smaller leaders around you. That's part of it. Like if you really want to create a world-class, effective, powerful team of big leaders, then you have to empower them. Big leaders need to be empowered. They yeah. need to be trusted.
That's so good.
And big leaders become big leaders because they're empowered and trusted. So a lot of people that just think like, hey, I'm going to build a team who's just going to do what I tell them to do. I'm going to give them all a bunch of tasks lemmings. And they do that. Yeah. Then, you know, you're just not going to keep the big leaders around you as much. And here's the reality. There's no way, no possible way that I can do what God's called me to do by myself.
Yeah.
I need a team of people that I'm doing this with. Mm-hmm. And I need people on the team that are better than me at a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I need people on the team that have strengths that I don't have. I need people on the team that are different personalities than I am. I need people on the team that have different giftings than I have. But that means then that I have to be really effective in finding out. A lot of what's empowering people is, this is some of the advice that I give leaders, is one, you've got to know yourself. So a lot of the stuff we talk about, the DISC test, the flipping constraint profile, the strength finders, you know, there's so many of these different things out there. These things are just helping identify even more, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What am I good at? What mm-hmm. are my giftings? What are the things that motivate me? Where do I feel alive? The more I can learn that about myself, mm-hmm. then I can also learn that about others.
Yeah.
So part of empowering people is one, knowing what makes them feel alive, knowing what their strengths are, knowing what their love languages are, knowing where yeah. they feel valued, knowing how to make sure their needs are met. Part of why we don't want to do that is because it is a lot of work. We'd rather you just come in, do what I say, move forward on this task I've given you. Mm-hmm. But I just am telling you, I can't, there's no way that we would, one, do what we're doing right now, or even, two, get where we're supposed to be going if we don't have a team that's diverse, strong, with big leaders who are gifted and motivated by different things.
That's so good. You know, I love that we're ending this month of talking about this, because really, in order to do this, I'm seeing like, man, you've got to be really secure, because a lot, what if these big leaders become bigger than you? What if these big leaders become more successful, or are, you know, like you said, they're better at something than you are. And so that requires, you know, security.
Yeah, it's all security, because if you're an insecure leader, like we talked about, you don't want people that are better than you around you. And here's the real truth. You know, God's placed me as the head of this ministry. And so that's something that God's done. But the reality is there's a ton of leaders around here that are way better, way better than I am.
Thank you.
At a ton of different things. At a ton of different things.
Yes.
They really are. I'm not just saying that.
Yeah.
Like to make, I legitimately, I look at a lot of leaders. I'm like, you are a way, way better at building healthy relationships in the culture. You're way better at what, you can just go down a list of things.
Yeah, that's so good.
And I want them around, need them around, enjoy having them around, you know, and we're better because of it.
You're talking about big leaders. You know, we want big leaders in our environment. I've often heard you say big leaders fail big.
Yeah, totally. I think high performing leaders make big messes. That's part of it, you know.
And so how do you navigate through that? You're just like, then it's like, well, just have a bunch of big messes in my environment, or and you're just,
I just don't think if there's not messes, you're probably not doing a great job, you know.
Right.
But I think big leaders, this is what Danny talked about. High performing leaders are high maintenance in many ways.
He uses the car analogy, right?
Yeah, a Ferrari. You know how much it is to go get a Ferrari tuned up? You know how much tires are for a Ferrari? So you're like, you want high-performing leaders around you. You just don't want them to make any messes ever.
Mm.
And the reality is that high-performing leaders do make messes. And I think anybody, whenever you empower people, if you're empowering people and expecting them, not even, forget the phrase high-performing leaders, just people make messes. They do. They're trying. It didn't quite work. They thought, whatever it is. And I think you got to be okay with that. And you know, it's not the end of the world. And you grow and you learn and you move on.
Yeah, that's so good. I feel like there's so much we could talk about, just even the practical things of like knowing your team, finding out what you're good at and all this stuff. But the angle of, you know, we're saying leaders use their platform for others. Can you talk a bit about that? Like, you know, what's that look like? And
yeah, I think you'll find, again, Jesus modeled a leadership style that was, I lay my life down for others. And in that context, he's actually saying, if you want my joy to be in you, if you want your joy to remain, then he's talking in that context about laying your life down for others, serve others. So I think the concept is you'll find that one of the greatest joy in life is to serve others and see them succeed. So like it's so much joy. I don't have to go out and get mine. You know, that's a Western, that's an American concept. Like
it's very much in the culture today too, even in like music.
This is your moment.
Yeah.
Go get yours. This is about you. You got to take care of yourself. And I'm like, it's just so opposite what Jesus talked about. And Jesus said, you want to find that, you know, the greatest joy in life? It's not going and getting yours. It's helping somebody else.
Wow.
That's the greatest joy in life. So honestly, I can look back. Some of the high points of my life over the last 20 years has been seeing the fact that I was able to give somebody a platform to see their voice get out there, to see what's on their life excel, and to see them continue on. Just amazing. There's so much joy in it.
You ever wrestle with, well, if I give them my platform, I will lose my platform?
It all goes back to the security thing. I guess if you find your identity in that platform, then you'll struggle. If you don't find your identity in the platform, I mean, like God gives it. So I'm like, if God wants me to keep that platform, I'll have it. If he doesn't want me to, I won't. Like, he's the one that grows all this stuff. He's the one that gives and decides what I'm supposed to be doing. So again, it's so assignment driven. I don't have to fight and hold on to a platform. Because if that's my assignment, then that's what I'll do. If it's not my assignment, then it's not what I'll do. But that's up to God.
Yeah.
It's up to God what my assignment is, not me. And if that platform's my assignment, then that's my assignment. If that's not my assignment, then it's not for man to take away.
Yeah.
I want to serve others too where it doesn't benefit me. So I've tried to, again, because I'm the one that's heading up the ministry or the organization, things like that, you know, empowering people at some level just helps grow our organization. It's about me. I actually try to get on, I try to serve other people, or I'll be on a board, or I'll come alongside somebody else that actually doesn't help me at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't grow our ministry. It doesn't do anything. It's simply to come and lay down my life to see you empowered and grow. Mm-hmm. I just think that's the model Jesus gave us. And I think that if you can embrace that as a leader, that my job as a leader is to lay my life down for others. It's not to be known. It's not to go get mine. It's not to have a name. It's to lay my life down for others. And so I want to come alongside you, both those that work for me, those that don't work for me. I want to lay my life down for you. I think if we can get that, and I think we need to get it sooner as well, and I think we can. We don't have to run around circles trying to prove ourselves, make a name for ourselves. You know, I just want to be faithful. And whether you're in business, whether you're in church ministry, whatever it is, like, God, I just want to be faithful to the assignment you've given me, to use the gifts that you've given me, and much of that has to become alongside. And who doesn't want to hang out with that person? That's Seriously. Another thing. Like, who doesn't want to follow that person? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to hang out with that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get around somebody that their main job is to encourage you and believe in you and support you and empower you. You're like, mm-hmm. yeah, dude, I'm hanging around you and I'll follow you.
That's so good. Do you find that you're always making sure that you're serving somewhere where it's not a benefit to you, where you're like, hey, look, you're looking out for that thing and making sure you're actively
engaged?
Yeah,
hopefully I do it just naturally. But yes, I even try to intentionally make sure that. And there is some stuff, honestly, that for me, it might be a board that I'm on or something, serving a ministry, where I'm trying to do that. And it actually doesn't grow our ministry. It doesn't help our ministry,
mm-hmm.
but it's just to come alongside and serve. And that's part of it. So most of the empowering concept is really around just serving people.
Serving.
I want to serve you. And if I'm going to serve you and I have influence and I have to empower you,
mm-hmm.
I've got to know how to. And again, I'll tell you this, healthy teams are empowered teams. Effective teams are empowered teams. It's not that I better organized a bunch of people to do what I said. It's that we empowered people to go be who they are in our environment and to grow. That's also one reason why sometimes people will transition out of your environment, because they can't fully be who they are supposed to be in your environment.
Yeah.
Not every single thing can you go after in our environment. I don't have that type of platform.
Right.
So sometimes people will come to me on our team and they have things in their heart and I just know, man, you won't be able to get those here.
Mm, that's really good.
Not because I don't have a heart for it, you won't. And so therefore, if I'm for you, then I've got to be able to say, okay, then where is that?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't just be that, you know, no, I want you to stay here, because I'm like, if I'm really looking at you saying, and again, we want to do what God's saying, so God may have you stay there, whatever else, but I have to, as a leader, just say, no, I want the things that are in your heart, I want what God's placed on you to happen, and the reality is that may not be able to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do about that?
And you're all right with that.
Yeah.
That's good. When you're delegating things to other people, are you like looking for, okay, hey, you're great at that, I'm going to put you there, you're good at this, I'm going to put you there, and just kind of putting everybody where they're thriving and where they're best? How does that then balance with, well, we're growing people and the things that they're not great at?
Yeah, I just don't think, I don't think it matters where you are, you're going to run into things you're not good at
yeah.
at some level. I think it's a pretty rare thing when you are only in an area that you are good at and you mm-hmm. don't have to face anything you're not good at.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, so at some level, I do want to put you in your strength. I do want to put you where you're going to thrive, but you're going to run into something mm-hmm. that, you know, because you can't delegate all your stuff either, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, in fact, this is interesting, and this is maybe a side issue, but a lot of people don't want to do admin. You know, like big hot leaders that just want to influence are like, I don't really feel called to admin. I'm not really good at admin. I'm like, well, then you don't want to lead.
That's good.
Like if you're going to be a leader, it means you're going to organize something mm-hmm. and it means you're going to therefore administrate something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes we want to not do what we're not good at. I'm right. like, well, until you have enough money to hire a bunch of people that do what you're not good at,
yeah.
until you're a high enough level leader where you can gather enough volunteers and motivate enough people to do what you're not good at,
mm-hmm.
the reality is you're going to be doing stuff you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know, there, you know, there is a time, I guess, when you get to a place where maybe you can be isolated from having to do things you're not good at, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty high place up there.
It's so
you
good.
Know, so most people I run into are not where they were like, I don't have to do anything I'm not good at. I only do what I'm good at.
Yeah. then you're going to stop growing.
Yeah, and then here's the other reality.
Over your head.
So I am at a better place where I don't have to do some things that I'm not good at. But the reality is, let's say admin, for example. If I'm going to lead a healthy, thriving team, then I've got to have people that are good at admin.
Yeah.
The issue is I have to know what they need. I have to know what motivates them. I have to know what stresses them out, what mm-hmm. causes anxiety in their life. I have to know. So I've actually got to be good at that too. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I just want to go do whatever. I want to change the subject whenever I want. I mm-hmm. want to turn left at I want to do this. And the admin are dying.
Yeah.
Because they're like, hold on a second, you just changed like 10 things in 2 days. Mm-hmm. So I have to be able to go, okay, I need to change and morph and get better at what you need because I want you to thrive. And if you're not thriving, we can't actually get where I'm going.
I
if that makes sense what I'm saying.
No, that's
like you actually have to be still, even then you have to be effective in some areas.
I heard you say the other day, you had done something that kind of threw someone off and you said, okay, I'll adjust. And I thought, wow, how many leaders are okay to say that? A lot of leaders have this mindset like you'll adjust to me because I'm the leader, but again, serving others is like, well, I'll adjust for you.
This situation you're talking about, this person they have certain needs and they have ways that they operate at their best. Me just going like, well, you're going to have to change and morph to me. I'm like, no, I need you to be effective and thriving.
Yeah.
I can't actually get where we're supposed to go if you're not effective and thriving. So I don't mind. They have to morph as well, obviously, but I absolutely don't mind changing and adjusting so that you can have a better environment to thrive in.
Yeah, that's so good. Have you found that in where you're at currently, you've got Jesus Culture, you've got a big team, multiple things. You said it's a lot of work to kind of ramp up, know everybody, know their strengths, know this, know that. Is that kind of another thing where it's like, well, you're just going to have to do that as a leader. Like you can't delegate that out to someone else. Like, hey, go figure out the team
Yeah. We talked about this. Obviously I don't know all of our team strengths and all that. There's
list
people
them out right now. Yeah, all of us.
There's people that I work directly with. Those are the ones. But there was somebody a while ago who is like a very quality time, sit down and connect person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like I'm running by her office every day going, hey, good to see you. And going straight to my office.
Yeah.
And it was like really like affecting her. Cause she's like, we never connect. And I could just stop and go, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like sucking
up. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
But you know what it took? It took like a 2-minute conversation every day. It literally took me stopping by her office, sitting down for a second. It wasn't an hour. It was just literally 2-3 minutes just connecting. How's it going? Taking mm-hmm. a moment where I'm locked in and then going to my office.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden she's doing a lot better and thriving and mm-hmm. and feeling more connected. And, mm-hmm. So it's that type of stuff of knowing that. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Knowing that, oh, you're somebody that needs some connection.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a lot of connection. You need some connection. Well, I can do that. I can stop by your office throughout the week and just mm-hmm. stop for a second, make sure we're touching base and connecting.
Mm-hmm.
That's not hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have known that if I didn't know
the
needs that you have or the things that motivate you or how you're wired. You're wired differently. I don't need that. Like I don't need you to stop and pop in my office for 5 minutes for me to feel connected or valued or loved.
Yeah. So it's not something you grow out of. It's like, you don't want to be that leader. None of us want to be that. Like I'm in the corner office. Nobody ever sees me.
And yes.
I know some people who work for someone like that and they're kind of dying.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't have any access to this leader at all. And they don't know me. And it's like, well, that's what happens to the team is they kind of begin to shrink up or they're going to leave. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this month as we dove into traits of a healthy leader. I know I got a ton from it. All of my pages are filled with little notes that I was taking while we were talking. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. So hop on Twitter at JC Podcast. Let us know what you're thinking. We want to wrap this up with a little bit of a challenge for you and just kind of like a thought for closing. But I would challenge you to take a look at your own life. And, I'm not as big of a leader as Banning is. I'm not running an organization or ministry, but I do have a small piece of influence and I have a small piece that I am leading. So wherever you are, if you're in the home, you're leading your home. If you are at school, you're leading your group of friends. If you're, at Starbucks, you're influencing someone. So take a look at that and say, what kind of leader do I want to be? Do I know the strengths and weaknesses of those closest to me? And am I okay to adjust to help them thrive? Or am I using my life to give a platform and a voice to others. Any influence that I have, is it always being pointed at others and not just at myself? So this has been an awesome month. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and make sure you leave us a comment on iTunes, a review. We love that. And connect with us on Twitter at JC Podcast. Like we said, we're going to be pointing our listener interaction there rather than Instagram and Facebook, because that's what you guys said. You're on Twitter. So hop on at JC Podcast. Let us know what you think. And next month, we will be diving into the Encounter 2017 teachings from our Sacramento conference we just had. We're really excited to dive into those messages and unpack them for you. All right. We'll see you next time. Well, yeah,